Welcome back to the Birthlink podcast, guys. I have taken some time off on publishing. I have such great interviews coming up, and I've just kind of been holding out on you guys, and I'm so sorry for that. But we're editing them all up, and it looks like 2026 is going to roll out some really fantastic interviews. Wow, from some top obstetricians, from top business-minded birth entrepreneurs, everyone. I'm just like so excited. So I've been holding out, and I'm sorry, but today we are not doing an interview. I just kind of pushed record the other day, and I just listened to it myself and edited it. I didn't really edit it, honestly. I think I took out like two ums, but it was just kind of me. I don't know if you want to call it ranting. I was pretty calm, and I just wanted to share something that was on my mind while I have been working the last, 6 weeks in the hospital on a contract. I have another 6 weeks to go, and before I, put that aside and refocus my energy on the doula agency and the concierge agency. So, shout out to my friends, a nurse, and Anchor and Bloom Doulas. If you are interested in either, please reach out to me. We're doing doula work. I do virtual doula work. Just support, right? As much as I can. As I educate myself, I pass it on to you guys. And then, of course, the concierge agency. I'm really trying to bring care that we provide to you in the hospital to your home. So, really patient-centered services where we can do your NST and IV hydration. I can give you the Zofran and the antibiotics and the iron infusions all at home, right? Why not? The Billy Light therapy. Are you going to go take your baby and readmit them to the hospital after birth? Oh my gosh, I almost did that with Kaya, and it like almost broke my heart because I just came home, and she's starting to get really jaundiced, and that is a natural process sometimes as the babies are developing their livers and gallbladders and working through all that extra red blood cells that they're just going to have to try to get rid of. And as they do that, their bilirubin increases, and sometimes it can increase to a toxic level. So we have to test those babies. And then we have a treatment for them that was very, very good with the Billy Lights. But to do that, most of the time, you have to take the babies back to the hospital, readmit them, or maybe you're or still in the hospital, so you have to stay longer. But yeah, if I could help out by keeping your baby with you at home, where you're the most comfortable, where you can recover with a nurse coming to see you, and then she can assess you, she can assess the baby, she can see how you're doing postpartum, both physically, mentally, emotionally, all of it, spiritually, everything. That is my goal, just to support, women and families and babies and all of that. So, can't wait to get back into that. I mean, I'm still working on it. I work on the weekends at the hospital, and then during the week, I am at in my office. So, yeah, this episode I just pushed record. I wanted to talk about my thoughts on obstetrics in the hospital being a service industry more than even a healthcare industry, and our mindset around that. So this is I'm really speaking to nurses and doctors in this episode, but of course to women and families because they're the ones that are hiring us. What are your thoughts? I'm so curious. And go ahead and subscribe, leave a comment. Let me know what you think about this episode. I won't hold up any longer. Let's go. Welcome to the Birthlink Podcast, presented by My Friends a Nurse. I'm your host, Colette McCulliker, a high-risk labor and delivery nurse right here in sunny California. I'm also an OB-certified specialist, birth educator, lactation expert, and mother of two beautiful daughters. I am passionate about guiding you through the miraculous journey of pregnancy and childbirth, using evidence and history and asking the reason why.
I have some incredible medical friends and colleagues, and we're all here to help you navigate this often overwhelming birthing hospital system in the United States. My goal is to gain trust in birth, improve this system, and provide some valuable insights. Let's make this journey a little less daunting and a lot more joyful. Let's get into it.
I just want to bring up a couple of things. I think that, okay, this is a hot take, but maybe it's because I come from a restaurant background and bartending, like catering background, that kind of thing. Many years, 17 years. And I can see other nurses that have come from that background as well. Kind of get the whole service industry vibe out of it, and what that can do for the whole entire experience. And I think the attitude that I've been seeing of nurses across the board, everywhere I go, is that they're like, this isn't a service, right? They're lucky to be there. It's a medical emergency. We're saving their life, saving their lives, and they should be grateful. And then they're going to follow the rules. This is our house. We have the plan. We know birth better than them. And I have so much to do. I have so much charting, so many boxes that need to be ticked to make sure that this very important event goes well and that I don't get in any trouble and I don't get sued later and that nobody dies. And also, you know, there's the lazy nurses. There's the ones that are very tired. There's the ones that have been there for years and are struggling, you know, physically, and they're tired. There's nurses that are just run down by the system itself, where, you know, the needs of the patient, like the human needs, are not just ignored, but like scrawled. I haven't used scrawled ever, but you know what I mean? Just like, wow. Like, what do you mean you need Tylenol? What did I see? I saw a post this morning of a mom that had a natural birth and that she postpartum, she had a headache. And so she asked the nurse, and the nurse said, obviously this is writing, I didn't see a video or anything, but the nurse said, why would you need a Tylenol if, you know, what's a headache compared to natural tiber? How? And maybe she was joking, but the patient didn't take it that way, right? Look, I'm going to tell about my own personal experiences, just watching other nurses and how they talk. I was in a room probably for an hour with a mom helping her and her baby latch. And a lot of it was just talking to her, honestly, and listening to her. I didn't have to do anything. I don't even think I put my hands on her, maybe like twice to just show her like a sandwich hold. But yeah, I was in there. We were talking about patience. Patience, like CE at the end, right? Like, having patience with the baby, with yourself, giving yourself a lot of grace that it's going to be okay no matter how it goes. Giving them some tools to like calm their nervous systems, like stuff like that. And so then I went outside after I was done and she had latched and, you know, she was going to continue to practice. It was good. And I went out to the nurse's station and the postpartum nurse like, where have you been? I'm like, I've been in the room helping her just latch. Like, she didn't get a lactation consult today, hopefully tomorrow. And I was just helping her out. And the nurse was like, whoa, that's Good for you. Wow, that was really, you're really nice, right? Like, that's a lot. Like, I hope you don't, okay, if you're not a nurse, and you're either pregnant or you're a doula, and if you're a doula, you already know this, but I hope you do not go into your birth room in the hospital thinking that your nurse is going to give you everything you need. Like, no. These nurses are not doing that. They are tired. They are run down. And they haven't been trained at all to prioritize those human needs that new families need. Not the physiological, pathophysiological, like IV hydration. We need to watch your urine output, your intake, what are you eating, why, the medications that you're taking, how is baby doing, what are your vital signs, you know, what symptoms do you have, what are your complaints, what are your labs, what are your prenatal labs, how is your pregnancy, what about your medical history and your family medical history, what about the doctor's, you know, plan and his orders, and what about the orders that he put in and didn't tell you about? What about antibiotics and infections? Like, that's, our heads are in medical stuff. Like, just they give us so many algorithms to have to remember and process. Like, we're out at the nurse's station in a group huddle going through these pages. Like, are we doing this right? We don't want to have a fallout, right? What does a fallout mean? A fallout means, like, maybe you didn't chart something that you were supposed to chart. What is the implication of that? That because you didn't chart that, there's a possibility you didn't do that, right? I don't know if they care so much about doing it or not doing it, because they're not exactly going over with us over and over why we would want to check a vital sign every 5 minutes, a blood pressure, or what. Like, we're expected to know that. But each one, like this one place, we have to measure for the first 24 hours, all of the blood that comes out. So all the pads throughout those first 24 hours, we have to weigh them. So we get a QBL, quantitative blood loss amount. So all the nurses for every shift have to make sure that that's on, and it has to be charted. And if you don't chart it, then it's a fallout, right? So for them falling out, well, then that's going to have repercussions with, like, the Joint Commission or OSHA, or I don't know who's watching and, like, knocking off points. Most likely it's the insurance companies. They kind of run the show, feels like, to get in good graces with the insurance companies. Obviously we need accreditation, like that gold standard of approval. And that's the Joint Commission. We hire the Joint Commission as a hospital to survey us and, you know, meet certain qualifications, which is a lot of paperwork and a lot of, hey, check all this stuff. And in order to pass that, then there's charting that every nurse needs to be able to do. Doctors too, but not at the extent of nurses, I don't think. If you're a doctor and you want to argue that, then it's not argument. I just want to hear what you have to say. Like, what do you mean? How much charting do you have to do? I'm sure lots. Okay. Maybe it's not a competition. I don't know. Let's just put it that way. I just feel as a nurse, we have a lot of things that we have, like, are required. And I'm sure doctors too. So, yeah. So where are our minds going? What are we trained in? It's those things. So please don't come to the hospital expecting that your nurse not just understands birth and has the time and capacity to jump in there with you. And I hope they do. And I hope, you know, hospitals are out there and will continue to grow that support that education, that type of care. And until then, like, please don't expect or know where you're going. Talk to doulas. If doulas are like, no, don't go to the hospital, maybe you don't want to go to the hospital. That's why I always say the first thing you should do when you get pregnant is hire a doula. Ask around, do some interviews, find a doula, get that support. If there's a certain birth that you want, or you're curious to know what kind of births are out there. Like, what is birth? What the hell is about to happen to me? If you're wondering that, like, oh crap, you know, your first thing is you'll probably get on an app or online and you'll start looking at what the baby looks like and what you need to eat right now. And, you know, what's the next test that you're going to have? And then, oh, you should find someone who will deliver, right? Well, you'll deliver, but find the person that's going to assist in that birth, that expert, right? So then are you going to pick a midwife or are you going to pick a doctor? And what are you looking for from them? Just that they're covered by your insurance? Or, you know, what do you want? What do you want out of your doctor or midwife? How do you find that out? What questions do you ask yourself? If you find a good doula, she's worked with so many women. She has no stake in the medical part of it. You could give birth in a hospital, at home, birth center. She's done it all, right? At least a doula like me. And if she hasn't, then, you know, you need to speak to a few doulas that have experience in all types of births and can educate you. And then they have a community. Doulas have communities so they can all talk to each other. They can find you the perfect doula if you talk to doulas. And that's why I started the agency, right? So it's like amazing. And then these doulas are going to tell you, well, don't go to that doctor. He's lying. He's lying to your face. And I hope these doulas are doing that. Oh, not that hospital. What kind of birth do you want? Oh, okay. You know what? I recommend this one, this one, this one. Like, let's start there, right? Oh my gosh. I had a client, you guys, in, like, she gave birth in October. And, like, we were probably with her since July. She had two doulas. So there's two of us. Wow. Like, so cool. So good. That's another thing that I like about having an agency. So you're going to have multiple doulas. Talking to each other and working together. Where does she live? What's her insurance? Okay, what kind of birth does she want? All right, let's see. This hospital, is it this way? Oh, they have a great nursing staff. They'll be on board for what she wants, blah, 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 blah. It doesn't even matter if you want an epidural or you want a C-section. Okay, well, what hospital has great postpartum rooms for C-section since you'll be there for 3 days? Or which one has really great nursing staff that appreciates doulas and is there to take care of mom, has great lactation support? All of it. So we need help in that regard. And those hospitals and nursing staff that don't have their heart in it and are so overwhelmed and preoccupied with the boxes that they have to tick that they have completely forgot and missed the mark about birth and this amazing transformational experience that we get to be a part of. That's not a medical emergency. It's a process of life. It's so beautiful. Like, what? We're like standing at the portal. Same thing with death. Like the respect that needs to go into it. And we're just forgetting that. So if you can find a hospital and nurse staff that appreciate that still, maybe by just opening up to midwives. And make it, hey, nurses and doctors and ORs are here and available and can help. But we're not going to start there. And what is this reason for induction? Why are you getting an induction? Let's talk through why baby's having an early birth. And so you can really understand. And that's not knocking inductions or C-sections or epidurals, right? I had epidural and an induction. And this was before I really got into my birth education. I was a labor and delivery nurse, but honestly, that doesn't mean so much when it comes to understanding real physiological birth. But now that I do, you know, it's like the system this is how I feel, guys. This is my own opinion. So don't, you know, don't get mad. It's my story. But I just feel like the first birth, so unprepared, so like blinded by the system. By system, I mean like just society and how they have presented birth, which is zero to women of childbearing age, which is young, right? Like nothing. 20 years old, nothing. I knew nothing. That's crazy thinking about that now. So I had to put everything in the hands of the doctors because the only thing I knew was that it's just a medical event and that's it. And that they have epidural. So because it's really, really painful and I don't want to feel it. And I'm just going to trust my body and my doctor. And that was it. Right. So then after all these years, I'm really like, holy crap with that whole experience. Now I'm a nurse and now I know, I know so much about a birth experience in the hospital. So I was very careful in like the doctor I chose, but still it was quite medical. Right. So I did happily get an epidural and get an induction because of who was the anesthesiologist and staff that day. So yeah, now 5 years later, after my friend's a nurse, after these years of jumping into what else is out here, yeah, I sort of feel robbed, right? Because I'm not going to have another baby. Like, that's it. So, you know, personally, I feel like I didn't get the full story, even as a labor nurse. I didn't have any appreciation for the beauty that and power that is the gift of a woman, of being able to give birth, like, in her own right. And that we just jumped so straight to epidural that I was kind of robbed of that moment, right? Of being able to do this naturally. And by naturally, I mean without an epidural. And just like, I get home births now. And I wish we could just provide the home birth, you know, vibe, birth center vibe, meaning autonomy. Meaning not starting with, hey, here's an induction, here's your medications, IV, stupid, ugly gown, like you're a patient immediately. Well, wear your own clothes. wear what you want to wear, right? Why do the rooms look like hospital rooms? Ugh. Like, why? And start with that, but then in the back end, you have nurses and doctors and an OR for those emergencies. But a natural birth, like from beginning to end, let's promote it, right? And if they don't want it, go for the epidural, go for the induction, go for, you know, if it's medically necessary, and sometimes it is. Women prep months to labor at home and hope for a home birth and then come to the hospital for an epidural to rest. They have prepped their minds. They can do this pain. They can do, you know, the contractions and the labor. But something stalling out, and we have such a great option to come to the hospital. So why can't we just set up the hospital, the nursing, and this is where I'm getting to. So at the end of the day, sorry, but nurses or the hospital or whatever, our mentality, it has to be service, okay? Service, 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 service. Sorry, I'm just putting on my lip gloss. Google, Yelp, service. How are people leaving the hospital with their baby? Right? Are they leaving empowered and knowing that they were supported every step of the way, that they had nurses or the support consultants, doulas that had the time to sit with them for an hour and talk about breastfeeding. Like, that should be the norm. So we need the nurses there to do all this medical stuff, right? But then why are we not like just promoting doulas as the front runners, just as we would promote midwives? Like, how are there not three doulas sitting at every nurse's station with us and midwives for as well? It's just they can start it out, and only if they need us, then call us in. And then we can focus on, you know, actual service. Like, are we setting the beds for the dad? Are we making sure they have water and juice? And it's like those, in those details, right? Why is it so hard for hospital rooms to not have those twinkly lights? Why? Why don't we have essential oils? Is it so hard? Is it so expensive? No, I just bought it. I bought three for like $20. Okay, $40. Every room can have a light. I'll gift it to them. Right? Why is it so hard to set up that atmosphere? As a doula, it took $50 and I can transform your whole room. Why can't we do that at the hospital? Right? Service, guys. Honestly, this is a service industry. You have to like argue with me to convince me otherwise. Because I was there. I was already on the side thinking like, what do they think? Where do they think they are? The hotel? Like, that's how I first started with that kind of mentality, because that's how everyone did. I was just on the same feedback as them. But why not? Why can't it be more like a hotel? Why does it have to be so like hospital? I know as nurses, we're tired. We don't have time. I think I just ran through the list of things that we have to keep in our minds. And I didn't even get to like the serious stuff, right? It's a lot. So why are we so against doulas then? Why are we thinking like, oh, she has a doula? No, yes, she has a doula. If you're really thinking about it like that, like, do you appreciate and understand physiological birth? Do you understand what a woman really needs and a partner really needs during their birth and during their labor? Do you love it? Do you like, does it just not like, are you not obsessed? Are you not like, oh my God, I'm so grateful to be part of it? If you're not, then I just want you to know the system got you. You are run down. You are a detriment to society. And it's okay, because that's how we were trained. But it's not too late to completely reevaluate your mindset around birth and what we're doing for these women. And same goes for doctors. Just rethink the whole thing. Right? Try to get out of the box and talk to women and listen to women out there right now with the complaints. You got to use complaints about the hospital system and about their care to improve it. And when you improve it for these women, look, medically, maybe you got it down. You get it. You know what they need medication-wise, intervention-wise, for whatever scenario. You know the diagnosis is. You know all of that stuff, right? Great. Good. What about the other stuff? What about the natural stuff? What about what the woman actually needs to have an amazing, powerful, natural birth? What does she need? Does she need you walking in the room with the spotlight on you, loud and confident, while she's in the middle of a contraction? You say, hi, I'm here. Not to worry. Do you think that's what she needs? Who do you think you are? Like, just walk in quiet and acknowledge that she's the most powerful person in that room right now. And that you, as a provider, are like so lucky to be there. So don't fuck it up. Like, if that's how you're behaving, if you're a nurse and you're grabbing a baby out of that mom's hands that she just gave birth to, and bringing that baby, separating that baby, and bringing her over because she has fluid, you hear gurgling, so you feel you need to spend 10 minutes suctioning and drying, and oh yeah, I'll just get my measurements in too and weigh the baby real quick and do all of this. I still hear gurgling. I'm gonna say, you think that's better than that baby being skin to skin with mom right now for those 10 minutes? What is 10 minutes to a baby? It's so long that you've just separated her. Could you have not have suctioned the baby with mom? Like, some respect. Like, think about how you were trained. It's wrong. You have to stop. I'm so mad. I don't know why I pushed record. I got heated. Like, I have to watch it now, right? Because if I keep speaking up and saying this stuff at the time of, like, I get kicked out real quick. So, you know, I can't do that. And your doula probably won't be able to do that either. It's gonna be you and your partner, you meaning the pregnant woman, to speak up. And if you are a nurse or a doctor, please just, even if you're great at it, like, you're listening to this podcast, maybe it's you get it. You're like, yes, I agree. Cool. Well, how can we keep improving? I'm still improving, like figuring it out. It's the best part of labor and delivery, you know, and birth and human existence. There's always something to figure out, something new that we're going to learn. What's funny is a lot of the stuff that I'm learning is stuff that has been being taught for thousands of years, hundreds of years, if not thousands. Like, it's nothing new, birth and what a woman goes through, what she needs primally, what her partner needs. Let's start there and then work back, okay? I think we got to start over, reevaluate, like, what are the old women teaching? What are the midwives teaching? Let's go back and start there. Incorporating the medical evidence and advancements we've made, comparing them and seeing what works for each woman. What would the benefits of each be? What are the risks? What are the values? Do you know the values of the woman that you are caring for? You know? Do you know anything about her? Like, it's not hard. You can do it. A service. So that's really what's been on my mind 30 minutes later. It's just, this is like a service industry to me now. And if it's a lot for a nurse to be that, because it's like, it's a healthcare industry, but it's a little different. You know, these women are coming in, they're not sick. They're in their power and they're about to go through something that we've been going through since the beginning of humankind. Animals go through it. I feel like they get treated better during birth than humans. They get treated better during death as well, let's be honest. So let's reevaluate, okay?
And if you're pregnant, if you're going to give birth and you're already listening to this podcast, which is crazy, good for you. If you, or maybe someone shared this with you, but good. That means your journey is starting or started and you are learning more just like I am. And you have a plethora of choices to listen to and to gain that knowledge and experience and choose it all, choose whatever. It's better than nothing because so many women are coming in and families with zero preparation or education or listening to any podcast. It's crazy. And their doctors don't care. It's like they prefer for it. I don't understand that. So good for you. And keep it up. Find a doula to help you. Reach out to me if you're in Los Angeles and Orange County. We're starting Anchor and Bloom Doula Agency. So if you are a doula and you're looking for mentorship, or you are a parent, newcoming parent, pregnant, and looking for support, please reach out to us, Jill and Rachel and I. You'll either get one of us or you will get one of our agency members. All fantastic. Get that support, guys. We can help you find the right provider and get that hospital that's going to support your values. And in fact, we're going to help you figure out what those values even are. What kind of birth do you want? What kind of birth could you have? Right? Do you even know? Right? I honestly didn't. And we're non-judgmental. We've been there, done that with so much of it. And, you know, we're going to lead with compassion and understanding and support. So reach out. You can go to our website, Anchor and Bloom, anchorandbloomdoulas.com. And then, keep listening. I'll be back with an amazing interview coming next week. And yeah. I think that's it for now. I think I probably went on a couple of different rants, but we're all good. All right. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to My Friends a Nurse presents the Birthling Podcast. We hope you enjoyed today's episode and found it valuable. Before we go, a quick reminder, the information shared on this podcast is for educational purposes only and should not be considered medical advice. Always consult with your healthcare provider for any medical concerns or questions. If you enjoyed the episode, please subscribe, leave a review, and share it with your friends. Your support helps us reach more people and continue to bring you great content. Until next time, stay healthy and stay informed.